This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say. But if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free-for-all Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this free-for-all Friday. Always a ton to talk about. And as you just heard in Jeremy's news, a new threat from Iran saying no park, no recreational facility is safe for their enemies. So they are huffing and puffing. And I think amid the worry about this, which is a legitimate worry, we should remember that one of the main reasons, the impetus for this whole invasion was to cut Iran off as the main sponsor of terror in the world. And that is something that even our government acknowledges. So let us just hope that that is more of a threat than a reality, though, boy, we really should be upping our vigilance level. And of course, this threat comes after our Prime Minister Mark Carney and other Western allies signed a statement saying, yeah, they would be willing to work to keep the Straits of Hormuz open. Not sure what that means. It comes after Donald Trump said, oh, you better. And always when there is a statement of a kind of support, it's followed by something from the foreign minister, Anita Anand. The best commentary that I heard, and I forget where it's from because I would give credit where credit is due, this week on the subject of our foreign minister said, no one cares what Anita Anand says. And to that, I say, amen. We have a lot of other things happening at home with Doug Ford blessing the gun owner who shot a home invader. And he's had a lot of blasts of the judicial system this week. And a lot of people are wondering what exactly prompted that. And on the subject of conservatives, Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the Conservative Party. Well, he's in the States this week, and he appeared on the Joe Rogan Experience, the show. It's probably the most popular podcast in the world, 10 million downloads. And we saw the new and improved Pierre Poilievre. And here, take a listen.
We're very proudly Canadian, so we're never going to be the 51st state. And I just wish you'd knock that shit so that we can get back to talking about the things that we can do as two separate but two separate countries that are actually friends.
Okay, well, there you go. And I'll say this. When I interviewed Pierre Poilievre in the last election, it was also a wide-ranging interview, not just about politics. And he came across to me as a relatable guy, but it's taking a long time to move from the perception of him as an attack dog here. And we hope to talk to him again soon. So there you go. Joe Rogan might have 10 million listeners, but very few of them, I would think, actually vote in a Canadian election. So there you go. There is a lot to talk about. And I'd like to welcome our panel for today, Diane Francis, an author, commentator, and editor-at-large at the National Post, and John McEtishan, a conservative strategist, political consultant, and president of Bradgate Research Group. And John, so great to have you on air again, and so happy to learn that you are on the mend.
Thank you.
Okay. Let us begin then. Diane, what do you make of this latest threat from Iran?
Well, I agree completely with you that, you know, the reason this war is happening is not because of anything Israel concocted or Trump. This is an evil regime, and it has created murder and mayhem and destabilized, and destabilized the Middle East. And, you know, its motto is destroy, death to Israel and death to the United States. And, you know, and they have these proxies everywhere, not just in the Middle East, creating all kinds of problems. They have a large military and they have an absolutely crazy clergy of zealots who are running the place. And the people, their own people, are terribly subjugated. So, you know, I mean, this is a justified war. I just don't. And I'm glad that Canada's joined the queue to help open up the Strait of Hormuz, which is, of course, aggravating the oil situation.
Before we get to John, we'll get to you in a second. I forgot one of my most important jobs in this chair, and that is to give the numbers out again, people. I'm sorry. So the text line and long-distance phone line is 866-744-740. The local phone line, 416-360-0740. And John McKittition, what do you make of this latest threat from Iran?
Business as usual. And it's quite sad to say that. I mean, they are who they are. They are terrorists. They support terrorism. They want Israel eliminated. They are bad actors. And it's, if you really sit back and from a dispassionate perspective, you really have to wonder how the UN, how NATO, how the entire world has sat back and allowed any country to be so vile in its interactions with others. It serves no useful purpose. And long overdue, should have happened a long time ago, and hopefully there's the fortitude to see it through so that there is regime change and that the ability to export any kind of terrorism or back anywhere in the world is ended.
I'd like to read a text from someone who did not leave their name. And on this subject, it says, "Now that Iran has declared war on the world, I believe it is time for the government of Canada to wake up." Diane, it's very hard to, I mean, you know, they seem to be sucking and blowing on this one. So is the government of Canada waking up?
Well, Mark Carney does whatever the Europeans are doing. He thinks we're a European country.
I think he hopes we're a European country.
Well, we're more European than the Americans, it's true. But you know, I think he'd like us to join the European Union, which is a crazy idea because that place is terrific, but it has a lot of problems. Yeah, of course Canada should start to pull its weight, and there is no doubt about it. We don't have a lot of weight to pull. That's the problem. We've had, you know, post-war, we have sunk into complete dependency on the Americans in NORAD and done very little, if anything, for NATO. So, you know, we've got to get our act together and do something. So it's glad to see that they're doing this. I think this is so egregious, however, that I think, you know, the Carney bunch, who are the guys that military for decades, are even forced to say, yeah, we have to do this. And they don't like doing it because they don't want to even appear to do anything that Trump likes. You know, it's very childish. But well, I'm glad that they're going to do something. I don't know what we can do.
Well, and it seems to be playing to the liberal base that they're saying this is an unnecessary, terrible war. There's no exit strategy. I hear that a lot, people pulling out their hair you know, I just filled up this morning and I have a very small car. But even with that, I was kind of a little surprised at how much it cost, John.
I think the question of moral clarity is very clear. The Liberal Party of Canada, the government of Canada, has no moral clarity at all. It has no standing. There couldn't be a more black and white example of what should be done here, stopping terrorism at all costs. And they, you're quite right. They're playing to their base. They're playing for electoral votes. And what's worse than that, there's many people in their caucus and in their cabinet who don't see the problem. They think there's a problem with the war. And it's like, what is the thinking of these people? But then again, that kind of goes with their pro-crime, pro, you know, they're just out of touch. And it should be expected. And Carney's done a great job so far of fooling people as much as he has, that he's supportive when convenient.
Let's take a call from Fred in Toronto. Hi, Fred.
Hi. Thank you for having me on, Olivia. I have a question for you and the experts, and that's puzzled me that the neighbors in of Iran in the Middle East have not taken action against Iran, and rather it's once again up to the Western powers to do something, which is a neighborhood problem. I know it affects the rest of the world, but it also affects that neighborhood.
I
don't understand why it's always waiting for us.
Well, I don't know that they are this time. Diane, you put your hand up.
I think that people don't understand that two different things. The surrounding Arab countries, the Gulf states and others, Iraq, are a different form of Islamism. And the Iranians don't agree with anything that they stand for religiously. The second thing is they are ethnically different. Iranians are not Arabs, and they look down on the Arabs. Okay, so you have that cleavage right there from the get-go. What the Arab nations have done, because they're staggeringly rich, is they've invited the Americans to protect them. So there's American bases on their property. They have militaries. They give a lot of money toward helping that. And so that's really what they're doing. And they're relatively small compared to Iran has 90 million people. I don't think there's 90 million in all of the collective Gulf states combined. So, you know, their big daddy is the United States. And, you know, Trump has cultivated that relationship very nicely. And I think the whole idea has been, since he's gotten in and before, is that the Gulf states, who are moderate, and they're not democratic, but they're not horrible like Iran, are going to be very important in helping rebuild Gaza, working with Israel. There was the Abraham Accords. They want to make it work, and Iran never does. So there's your problem right there. And they're protected by the United States and no one else.
Well, and they are being attacked, John, by Iran.
Right. And that's the, if you look at how this this war has begun, I mean, I think the entire world, again, was shocked. They were shocked that Trump started things. But the reaction from Iran was to shoot back at everybody, at all these other countries. Right. It wasn't strategically just at the Americans. It was anybody in the neighborhood was going to be attacked, which is mystifying, which is to me, I don't understand the strategy or the logic or the it's almost like they have their own death wish because they want everybody to be completely involved. And there's no logic to it.
Well, just as I explained before, though, there's an ethnic difference. They're not liked. They don't like each other. And there's a religious difference. And the diabolical strategy that some have posited behind what Tehran did before this war started was they wanted to get a nuke. They wanted to destroy Israel completely. And then they wanted to take over the entire Middle Eastern, including their Arab neighbors. This was their diabolical strategy, and that's another reason why that regime has to be destroyed.
Well, yeah, there is not a sign of that now. We'll talk about that in a bit. Before we go to break, I'd like to take a call from Ron in Port Perry. Hi, Ron.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
This is very short and sweet. I think everybody could get behind things a lot better if Trump wasn't the president of the United States. I personally can't stand Hardy looking at the arrogance of the man on the TV. And that's all I have to say, really.
Okay, well, you know, when it comes to Canadians and how they feel about things, you know, I think he has a point.
I think so, but you know, if you're in a gunfight and you don't like the guy on your side who's running your side, you got to swallow it and say, hey, you know, is it right or is it wrong? And don't play around with it like Canada tends to do. Oh, gee, should we? Shouldn't we? He's a very unattractive human being. There is no question about it. And I don't like Trump. I like some of his policies. I don't like some of his policies, but I could say that about every other leader. In this case, he's doing the right thing, and we've got to back him, in my opinion.
John, before we go to break, on that note?
Simple. Totally agree.
Okay. Simple. Okay, we are going to take our first break. I'm going to give the numbers out again. We've been talking about the war in the Middle East, but we can't change the subject. There are a lot of other things to talk about. There's Doug Ford, who praised the legal gun owner who shot a home invader. He's been taking on the justice system, talking for more accountability from judges, talking about even, you know, blue skying, live streaming bail hearings. We keep hearing about people who commit very bad crimes out on bail. I mean, this last case of that home of invasion in Vaughan just a couple of days ago where the homeowner shot the invaders. Well, the person who did it has a huge criminal record and has broken his bail conditions not once, 8 times. Well, what does that tell you? Why the heck was he out on bail? Anyway, all those things, we've got plenty to talk about. The text line and long-distance phone line, 866-740-4740. The local phone line, 416-360-0740. We're talking with Diane Francis and John McEtitian, and we're taking a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. And I hope we do get to all the stuff that Doug Ford has been saying all week, actually for 2 weeks, some of which I'm sure is a distraction from the stuff he's doing. But he's mostly taking on the justice system. You know, in our first segment, we were really focusing on the war in Iran. That is obviously a huge topic. The numbers, 866-744-740. That's our text line and long distance line. The local numbers, 416-360-0740. And I'm going to start with a call from Mary in Toronto. I have to find my cursor here. And hi, Mary. You disagree with Diane.
Yes, I do. I do agree with the previous caller. 100%. But Diane should keep her personal feelings, and facts are different from personal feelings, because the Republicans, House and Senate, are also opposed to this ridiculous war that did not have to happen. And this will show a lot in all the committees that they're having now with the national security and so on.
Mary, I just want to point out that we are giving you a chance to air your personal feelings, and Diane
know,
actually
Diane
has
a
lot of background in all of this.
Yeah, but she's she's also, and with all due respect, Libby, she's also putting her personal opinions
as
up
you front. Are, as you are. Okay, yeah, that's okay. People happy to hear all kinds of dissenting views, but if you think that your view on something is somehow elevated and someone you disagree with is just making some gratuitous personal comment, that's just silly. So there you go. Feel free to disagree. There are a lot of people who are not engaged in this, as they are not engaged in many things. So as I said before, 866-744-740 or 416-360-0740. And let's go to Dawn in Hamilton, and she wants to talk about Doug Ford's comments on pepper spray.
Hi, Libby. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Let's just remind people, he wants the government to make it legal for people to carry pepper spray. There are arguments on both sides of that. He said especially for women who do not feel safe at night. A lot of people don't feel safe at night, especially here. But one of the practical arguments is that bad people can carry pepper spray, too. So go ahead, Dawn.
Well, absolutely. It's a recipe for mayhem. Here in Hamilton, just this past couple of weeks, there have been a number of incidents where unscrupulous store owners have been selling bear spray to teenagers or maybe it's the teenager's parents, but because you have to be over 18 to buy it. And these kids, these young people, have been running around in parks spraying each other and carrying on.
Did they end up in Emerge?
I don't know that they ended up in emergency, but the police were certainly involved. It was on our local TV station. So that's just a little snippet of what could happen. If women feel unsafe in this country, then let's get to the root problem there. If women are unsafe or feel unsafe, we've got to build jails. Canada's population has increased. Crime has increased. Let's not put Band-Aids on things. We need a big make-work project. How about we do high-tech jails? Yeah, it's going to cost money, but get these people off the street.
You know, a lot of people totally agree with you, Dawn, and I think Ford made the comments when he was announcing some building of a jail. Thanks for your call. And I have to say, you know, I'm trying to remember in the dark ages when I was a teenager, and the dumb stuff we did seems to be less dangerous. I mean, I'm surprised I did not know that they were spraying each other with bear spray. And then there's this insane Benadryl challenge. I think that one may have even killed somebody, where the TikTok challenge is to drink as much Benadryl as possible, which is really a bad idea. John, what do you make of all that?
Well, there's always been crazy ideas, crazy fads and wacky actions by young people. I remember doing silly things like, hey, it's snowy. We're not skiing, but if we hold on to the back of the car, we can slide down the street. We probably all have those kind of stories. But I liked what the caller said. I wasn't sure where she was going, but I liked where she ended up. Let's deal with the root causes. And you often hear that from the left. And what the left means when they say it is the root cause is we got to give money and bigger hugs to people who are criminals. Whereas she had the right conclusion, which is if you have criminals who are determined, as example you gave earlier, of being lifelong hurtful people to others in the community, they should be given a home for the rest of their lives and kept away from society. We need to build more jails. We need to hold judges accountable. You know, the premier's talked about interesting positions on accountability. I would love to see a report card anytime soon that says, here's the list of judges and here's their records on when they gave people bail, whether they committed another crime or not. Are they actually giving bail to the right people? And do the judges even get that kind of feedback? Not to confuse that idea with their integrity and their independence, but where is the accountability for all of us to know what's going on in the courts? So it's not just an up or down. It's like, what is the outcome of that decision? And the one you gave, right? How does somebody who's violated bail again and again and again even qualify under any system to ever get it again?
All very good questions. John, I want to pick up on something you said about when the left always says we have to get at the root causes, because it reminded me there was something that the Ontario NDP leader, Marit Stiles, said that really annoyed me. And I have a lot of respect for her. I've talked to her many times. So this had to do at Queen's Park. They are wrapping and boxing the statues they have of various figures because they're going to be demonstrations, students demonstrating against the cuts in OSAP, which I think is a totally reasonable thing to protest against. But she said, well, if these statues have been vandalized by people on the so-called left because they don't like Sir John A. Macdonald or whoever else is statuified there. And she said, well, if you don't want the statues vandalized, don't cut OSAP. And to me, that is just terrible, Diane. I mean, it's saying that vandalism is a legit form of protest.
Yeah, I mean, that's just playing to the audience. That's political stuff. I mean, that's just totally silly and unacceptable. I agreed with the callers because we have a crime problem, a growing crime problem, particularly in Toronto. And we have a federal government that never screens immigrants. And I think the worst case that I know of was the guy from India who illegally came to Canada and illegally got a license to drive a truck and T-boned a bus carrying 40 hockey players and killed them. He spent years in at Her Majesty's pleasure in a jail, should have been deported immediately. And he's not going to be deported. I mean, we've got to realize that, you know, we've got to secure our borders better. And then when we have an ability to get rid of people that are probably incorrigible, that's we should be doing that. And, you know, I'll be accused of being anti-migrant. Full disclosure, I'm an immigrant. But good immigration is good for a country, but it should be good immigration, properly screened and followed up. So there's apparently 4 million people in our country that the federal government has let in for student visas and whatever, and they don't know where they are. That, to me, is a problem, and that may contribute or may not to our rising crime rates in our cities.
And our government is granting refugee status to people without even giving them an interview. We used to have a great immigration system, and that seems to have gone by the wayside. I'm going to hear from Josephine in Georgetown. Hi, Josephine.
Hi, Libby. How are you? I hope you are well.
Thank you
for taking my call. I have a little thing I'd like to mention, and that is I agree with the woman that was on just before this last lady about the amount of police protection that we have. And I've heard people say, you know, the police aren't doing anything. And I've got to tell you, I'm the mother of two really great police officers, and they're not allowed to do anything, Libby. They spend half their shift in the hospital with some, you know, emotionally disturbed, and the hospitals don't want to babysit them. So the cops sit there. They should be out on the street. My sons often say, Mom, you know, I'm going out to arrest the same guys. Where are the institutions that we used to have that would help these emotionally, you know, affected people that are homeless on the streets, creating crime, and the criminals? There's not enough jails. There's not enough police officers.
Well, yeah, you know, and you're right. The police officers are not allowed to do anything. And how many times have we seen on video people clearly breaking the law and the cops standing there and the taxpayers paying a huge amount of money for extra policing where the police don't do anything? I mean, it's just...
And the thing is, if say they draw their weapon, oh, my God, it's an SIU investigation and they are off and there is paperwork and... We need to respect the law. And I'm not saying that only because I'm the mother of the law. They've lost, my kids are university educated, you know, then they went to serve and protect. They can't do it. It's really a damn thing.
Okay, Josephine. I think calling yourself the mother of the law, I like that a lot. Josephine, the mother of the law, thanks so much. Let us move on and let's go to Brian in Mimico. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Mark Carney, you know, he's jetting around the world at our expense on government jets, going to a lot of places, making a lot of deals and everything. I think mostly what he's doing is setting himself up for a very lucrative post-political career.
I think we just lost you there. He had a very lucrative pre-political career. The guy is a multimillionaire, so I'm not sure that he has to set himself up, but he definitely is enjoying the globe-trotting, mostly in Europe with his buds, as Diane pointed out. John?
Yeah, and I think I mentioned before that, you know, and I think on last week we were talking about this globe trotting. And, you know, I think it's really important that strategically Canada should get more trading partners than just relying completely on the United States. I mean, I think they're a good partner, but, you know, you shouldn't be that reliant on anybody. And you should diversify. And but flitting around and having cocktail parties with diplomats and shaking hands with another elected politician ain't going to move the dial trade-wise. He doesn't have a contingent of businessmen with him. He's not signing real contracts. And by the way, if he wanted to get more trade around the world, he should lower the bloody taxes, because our businesses are competing with their hand tied behind their backs because Ottawa and the governments have overtaxed them.
John, before we go to break, you know, yes, but jetting around the world like this has made Mark Carney very popular, and he cuts a fine figure, no question of that. That gives a great speech. So I think in terms of an electoral strategy, the things I hear people ascribed to him are incredible. Like, he's fabulous. Look at him. So what's your take on that?
He has continued the original Trudeau legacy of looking really good while doing absolutely nothing. No new pipelines, no new factories, no new ports, no military procurement. They keep on talking to different companies across the world. What's actually been done? What's been built? Where's the homes? Where's all? So he's good at the showmanship, which is a liberal strength. But at some point in time, and sadly, it took 10 years with Trudeau. So I don't think the current prime minister has as long a runway. I think he needs to start getting some real things actually happening. And if it doesn't happen soon, then I think as great as his numbers are today with the electorate, because they see him doing things, I think that'll plummet. And that I think is the essence of it, right? Like, he looks good, but he hasn't done good.
Okay, well, jury is out, as they say, and it's time for our second break. Again, the texts, 866-740-4740. You can also make a long-distance call on that line. The local telephone number, 416-360-0740. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to 1. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt.
Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me!
Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. And I'm going to lead off this segment with a text I got from Janice that really speaks to what we were just talking about, Mark Carney and his globe-trotting popularity. And she writes, as Canadians, we are tied to the UK. We need allies. America is not one of ours now and not for the foreseeable future. Carney is protecting us as best he can by doing what he's doing around the world. So I think, yes, that is what a very large number, and certainly for an electoral majority right now in Canada, I think that is what they think. Perfectly reasonable or perfectly acceptable. Diane, what would it take to put a chink in that?
Put a chink in her opinion?
Yeah, and many other people who have very similar kind of opinion, people who may not have been lifelong liberals, including people who would have been conservatives.
Yeah, no, I didn't criticize his gallivanting around and doing cocktail parties and get his picture in all the papers. I say that's fine, but that doesn't actually turn the dial. As a prime minister in charge of the economy, he should be turning around all the terrible policies that cripple our industries from being able to trade more and be more competitive, and to also attract foreign direct investment, which makes jobs, by lowering the bloody taxes, cutting the civil service, dropping a lot of the nonsense, you know, stopping building roads to nowhere for political reasons. This is the problem. So, the idea is right, but he's not deploying the right tools to do what he claims he wants to do. And he can do that. And that's where I get annoyed, because it's just not going to be photo ops. It's going to be cutting taxes and getting this country in shape.
Mm-hmm. But so how long do you think he has?
Well, I don't know how much more in his mandate. 3 years, he'll finish the mandate. The other problem too is that I'm not convinced that Pierre Poilievre is very attractive to the electorate either. I mean, I like him, and he's sort of more his policies are great, but he hasn't caught the imagination. And the other big problem is Carney's safe as long as the NDP is in a mess, because that was how the left was split in the past. And so that another viewpoint, which I happen to think is more pro-business and more commonsensical, could come into power. So we're kind of caught in a problem here. So he may have a lot of longevity, whether he's effective or not.
Well, yeah, and there's no sign that the NDP is showing any kind of practicality that anybody might latch on to, except for their base. So there you go. Let me see. We'll talk about Mark Carney again, and this is Louis. And he says, I'm surprised that no airline companies have reached out to Prime Minister Carney regarding filming a TV ad for frequent flyer points. And he flies on government aircraft. So, yes. And let us change the subject. Arlene and Lindsay has a text on Ford's crime comments. Says, hi, Leb. If Ford wants to send the strongest message to these hardened criminals, he should make it clear that they will not be treated in our hospitals should they get injured terrorizing the rest of us. Seems totally senseless to treat offenders and put them back on the streets. That is really hardcore. But hey, that's what we're here for, to let you talk about your ideas. Another thing that's kind of a bee in my bonnet, and that is each level of government just points a finger at the other. the cops don't charge people, and they say the politicians don't have our back. The municipal politicians say, oh, look, you know, even if people get charged, the Crowns, who are provincial, presumably Ford has some control, even though, you know, there's issues of judicial independence. The Crowns drop the charges, so we can't do anything. And then the provincial people point at the federal government and says, saying our laws aren't strong enough. We need better laws. The proposed new laws are stuck in Parliament. I mean, it just goes on. And there are some sensible people who say, boy, why don't we just try enforcing the laws that we have, John?
Yeah, it's a big game, you're right, of pass the buck, because none of them are doing as much as they could. And, you know, that's the bottom line. Like, I got a householder, the piece of ad mail from my local Liberal member of Parliament recently, talking about everything they're doing about law and order and crime. And it talk about things that infuriate you. It's like there are still tons of vacancies for judges. There's a reason there's backlogs. There's a reason there's problem with the courts. And that's because the Liberals aren't doing the fundamentals of what they should be doing. And they're disingenuous when they portray themselves now to actually care and be doing something about this, because since they have virtually an operating majority, and certainly conservatives would support them, they could toughen bail, toughen sentencing. All of this could be done in 2 weeks if the government actually cared and wanted to do something demonstrative to make it happen.
Diane, do you think that it could be that simple?
Well, I think Doug Ford is doing the right thing. You may not agree exactly with how he phrases it. I love Doug because he says the quiet parts out loud. You know, like, I wish they'd killed off that home invader. You know, we all think that. You know, how horrible for someone to invade someone's home. And all of that sort of thing. But you can't, you know, you can't be encouraging that, but I love it. He's absolutely right about televising bail hearings, because the judges are soft and they're you know, allowing people up they shouldn't. This is part of the problem. We have to start to attack, and we start to have to see statistics as to how much immigrants are responsible for crime. That's a no-no. But you know what? That should inform our immigration department in Ottawa to be screening more and getting rid of people that have broken the law. The last thing is, I am 100% in favor of bear spray and what's the other kind of spray?
Pepper spray.
I think it should be legal. I think anybody should carry it. And as far as I know, it doesn't kill people.
No, it doesn't.
You give everybody a gun, or they walk out with their kitchen knives. That's a problem. But at least this gives you time to get away, to call for help, to run away, and it stops the person in their tracks. So I don't think it's unreasonable to say that that's a good idea. And I definitely, the judges should have, you know, public opinion watching what they're doing.
Yeah, I think we do need some more accountability, particularly on the bail stuff. And one of the things that mystifies me is that when I talk to some defense attorneys, they say, actually, the system works pretty well. We just hear about when it doesn't. It seems to me that when it doesn't, it doesn't in a spectacular way. As a cautionary note, though, when you look at what is happening in the United States with judges being threatened, we had judges being assassinated there from people who are on the hard conservative side of things and don't like what a judge may have decided. So I say, yes, we need more accountability, or we need more enforcement of the law, but we need to be careful that we don't get there, because that's pretty scary as well, John.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, but that's where we're not using the mechanisms we already have, right? And that's where it's like these repeat offenders again and again and again. And I got to tell you, I was struck by something you just said about the defense attorneys talking about, oh, that's an aberration, it's an outlier. You know, I'm sorry, around crime statistics drive me crazy, because 100% of victims don't care about the statistics. They don't care that that's lower number of anybody murdered in 2026 will not care if it's less than the year before. So it's these things at the root level, which is we know who the criminals are, and when they get caught by the police and when they go to a court and they go through the process, and not everybody gets convicted, let's be clear, the next step is, what is their record and what is the rationale? It needs to change from how fast can we get them back on the street to what would be the purpose of putting them back on the street if they're a career criminal and all they're doing is being dedicated to have more victims and more harm in our communities. And that's where things that need to be toughened up, right at that level.
Okay, I'm looking at the clock. We have something like 2 minutes left, so I am going to take a call from Jerry in Markham. Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Libby. I think, seeing as we're running out of time, I'm going to shorten my initial remarks by saying,
yeah, shorten them a lot, please.
the thing is, politicians and what they stand for and so on. Well, several years ago, Bill Blair was elected as first liberal member and then a liberal cabinet minister, and he was supposed to protect us, and he was supposed to improve the safety of our streets and allow us to feel more comfortable and safe in our homes. And I think the record speaks for itself, and now he's being farmed out to the UK. So why don't we discuss this for about 30 seconds?
That's it. That's it. Sorry. Okay. People had expectations of a guy who was a former police chief, expectations not met, and now getting a cushy job. And I don't know if that's part of the push for closer trade ties, or is it part of the push of Mark Carney to get rid of Trudeau cabinet ministers? Diane, quickly.
I think it's the latter, and a police chief isn't going to generate trade in Britain.
Okay, John, in 20 seconds or less.
Yeah, again, pretty simple for me. It's the people should be held accountable, and people should, try. Every voter should try to actually look at the record of their local MP much more than they have. Forget the hair, forget the leaders. Does the local person, have they done a good job representing you since the last election? And if not, vote for someone else. And if you can't hold your nose and vote for someone else, for the love of God, stay home and don't vote for them.
Okay. On that note, we wrap things up. Thank you to our callers and our texters, and to Diane Francis, an author, commentator, and editor-at-large at the National Post, and John McEtishan, a conservative strategist, political consultant, and president of Bradgate Research Group. That's all the time we have for Fight Back with Libby Znaimer for today, for the week. I'll be back here on Monday, and we will talk then.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.